Let us turn to the chapter we read in Exodus. And we shall look at the verses we read from 22 to the end of the chapter. And the subject we are faced in these verses is test after triumph. Test after triumph. You remember, children, what we have read at the beginning of this chapter 15. Last time, after Moses and Israel went through the Red Sea, the waters divided, and the people of Israel walked on dry land. They saw the waters covering all their enemies and killing all the Egyptians. They saw the chariots and the horses and all the warriors covered and killed in the sea. And there they were standing on the seashore and they sang with Moses the praises to the Lord of Israel. The beginning of chapter 15 is the description of what they sang and how they were praising the Lord with these words. And so this is what we have read just now from verse 22. Something changes. That's actually what life is all about. Life is never the same. In life, you will find changes all the time. A nice holiday will end. A good friend may depart. Some of your achievements or times of great victories over many things may last for a time. And this is exactly what happens to Israel here. They have come out of Egypt. They are now a free nation, we may say. That's a great number of people here. They have praised the Lord. They are up, almost we may say, up to the joys of heaven. They have sung this song. But there's round the corner something very different. And it's actually only 3 days away from what they have experienced. What a change. So I'd like to look at these verses under three, as usual, three headings. And the first thing is forgetfulness. The second is faithfulness. And the third is future. This is what Israel is experiencing here. This is what we learn from this passage. Forgetfulness. Well, that's exactly what happens from the very beginning of the verses we read, 22, 23, 24. It doesn't take long to realize how these people forget. And remember, this is only 3 days walking out in the wilderness. Verse 22. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Well, that's not surprising because it's the desert. Of course, there's no water. It's a difficult place. It's a barren place. But what they did right away, after 3 days of witnessing this glorious work and of God, showing His power in front of their eyes, 3 days passed and they actually murmured against Moses. What they did here is not turning to God, to the God of their salvation in prayer. They don't do that. But they turned to Moses and grumbled and asked Moses, "Now, what do you do about this?" See, they're pointing their finger to Moses and saying, "We have no water. How can we go on?" It seems right here at this point, because they are not turning their cry to God Himself, they are just showing their own selfishness. They are showing how much ungrateful they are. They are basically showing their lack of faith. Because this is the God that took them out of slavery and killed all their enemies. And they were praising the Lord 3 days before. They forgot who their God was. They forgot what He has done to them. And so they come here in the wilderness. I'm not saying that the wilderness is an easy place, that they should have been jumping of joy because they found no water. But rather, we see their reaction and their forgetfulness. They see, you can imagine the disappointment. We can sympathize in a way with them very well. You walk 3 days under 40, 50 degrees and even more, and the sun is burning and your mouth is dry and you see far from distance some water, and then you run there and you think, well, finally we can drink. And then when you taste this water, you have to spit it out. And you are so much disappointed that anger comes out of your lungs. It's bitter. You can't drink this water. Now what do? The first reaction is, "Moses, what are you doing here? Are we going to die now?" That's their forgetfulness. The water is bitter. But that water shows only the bitterness of their hearts. And God actually said, we read in verse 25, if you look at the end of verse 25, that's what God says. He proved them. He proved them their hearts. He wanted to see if they were trusting the Lord or not, indeed. Not only in times of glorious victories, but in times of difficulties. In times when life has hard providences. I think we studied this very subject in James. I'll read for you James, the words of James at the beginning of the letter. I'm sure you remember these words, and what James was saying is exactly what we find here. James chapter 1 verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." And so on. That's the whole point of James. That's the whole point of God proving them here in the desert. I couldn't help but think of Moses' parents here. And you know, when we were reading the beginning of the book of Exodus, the people of Israel were crying out to God. They were deep down in the worst time of their slavery. They were under a heavy hand of Pharaoh. And they had no hope. But we read that Moses' parents, they had this beautiful baby. They saw he was good looking. And they were living a holy lives. And they were praying and looking for the deliverance of Israel from that Egypt. Now, Moses' parents, I think we have the right to believe they were never out of Egypt. Moses lived all his life, 40 years in Egypt. He lived 40 years out in the desert, and then God called him back to, where Israel was, we have good reasons to think that their parents, his parents, were dead. When Moses and his brother and his sister came out of Egypt with all Israel and saw all these works and marvelous doings of God for them, Moses' parents were gone. They were far long in God's presence. Yet, think of them and how they dealt with baby Moses, and how they were hopeful and faithfully praying for him, and how his mother took him and taught him, and they saw the wonderful providence of God in bringing little Moses back to their family. They saw God's work in their lives, in his life, and in all Israel's life. They believed the Lord was doing something great. They didn't experience the coming out of Egypt, but they were not forgetful of God's faithfulness. That's how Moses' parents are so encouraging to us here, just as an example and as an opposite of these people who are now so easily forgetful of God's goodness and faithfulness. Israel, in all his journey here and onward, will be and is for us all such a great lesson in all our journeys of life. Yes, they have been saved, and they have been going through many difficulties. And what God is showing us here today is that He has a purpose for His people. Although there are difficulties and there is a desert in this world, they are saved, yes. They will be saved. But they need to be sanctified. And that's exactly what you and I need. To get rid of sin and to be not forgetful of God's gracious benefits. This forgetfulness must take us all to the point of considering our great need to be faithful and to remember God's goodness, because He is faithful. He is good. And this takes us to consider the second thing I want to notice, which is exactly God's faithfulness. That's what we see. Although we read of Israel's forgetfulness, see how faithful God is and remains. What a contrast we have in these verses and from verse 25 onwards. When Moses cried unto the Lord, the Lord heard his prayer. The Lord didn't despise his own people. He could have said so many things because of what he has already done. And yet he answers graciously to Moses. And God proves here to remain faithful, even when we are unfaithful and forgetful. Because God is faithful and gracious. Where, when we read in Paul's letter to the Romans, where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. That's exactly what happens here. No matter how many times you failed your God, no matter how many times and shamefully you forget of Him and of His goodness, He is faithful and ready to hear your cry. Because He cannot deny Himself. Although we may not believe, yet He remains faithful. And it is quite something that brings our mind ahead to make some connections with the cross of Christ. Because when we read of this wood, of this tree, it's curious, we may say. We cannot have an exact reason for why Moses was told, there's a tree cast into the waters. and the waters were made sweet. It is a tree. It could have been a stone, could have been anything else. Could have been just a word, just a gesture. And yet it is a tree which brings these bitter waters to sweetness. And it is a tree that did hold the Lord Jesus, nailed and suffering to make your sins covered, to cleanse, to cover your sins before the Lord and make things sweet. God in Christ, because of that tree, provided and changed all things that are needed for you. I'll quote 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter is addressing at the beginning of his letter the believers there, and he says, to them that have obtained a precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to His divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Christ, all things have been changed and given to you who believe for life and godliness. All that these people in the desert needed was God's work. All that you need in your desert of life, when your waters are bitter, is Christ's knowledge, is Christ's blessings on your life. He has promised to give you all things that are needed for you to be a Christian, for you to live a godly life. To remember that God is faithful, that He is able to transform the most bitter waters into a sweet taste and refreshing one. So they have been forgetful. God has been faithful. But what about their future? What about their future? There's what God is promising to them at the end of verse 25 and 26 and 27. That's what basically God requires of them. He says, I've made an ordinance. I've proved you here. But this is what I want, is the condition is that you hearken unto me. It is the obedience of people who trust me that I want. I've made these waters sweet. Now, that's how God is talking to them through Moses and saying, look, you forgot what I've done. Just a tree in the waters and everything changes. Now open your eyes, and this is the condition. Trust me. Hearken to the Lord. That's what God is saying to them. And the command He is given to them is, obey my voice. And the comfort He is giving them is, I will be healing. I will be your Lord. I will be your God. I will protect you. I will not give anything of those things that the Egyptians experienced on you. That's my comfort to you. That's my word to you. Remember these four things about these last few verses. The condition is to hearken to the Lord. The command is to obey His voice. The comfort is that He will protect you as you trust Him. And what is the consequence? the consequence is in verse 27. They came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. What a difference. What a consequence for their future. And to be hearkening and obeying and receive God's comfort. It's an abundance of water. It's not just turning that little pond where they arrived and saw, but they came to a place of abundance. That's the meaning of Elim. It was a place where there were 12 wells of water, not just one, 12, and 70 palm trees. Surely this has a connection with Israel, that will have 12 tribes and 70 elders. It's like saying you will have abundance and all that you need for each and every of you, each and every tribe, each and every family. It will not be just a portion. You will not even have to fight and push or queuing up for the blessing and the waters and the abundance that God will provide for you. There will be more and so much more that you will be satisfied completely and freely. Christ, my friend, is this supply of living water. Is it not what he cried to the crowds, to those who knew very well this passage, to the Israelites who have read there at Jesus' time of what happened in Marah? Christ will cry there, "I am the water of life. I am the water of life." And so Elim for Israel was this picture of great abundance. Remember, they were still in the desert. They were not in the promised land. But as soon as they crossed this Elim with this abundance of water, they will be still walking in the desert. But that's God's provision for them. That's what they need to have in mind and trust and believe. Just as you here today, having received and heard the gospel, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and having being told that He is the water of life. He is the one by whom rivers of water will be sent by His Holy Spirit. Christ will meet all your needs. Yes, material needs and spiritual needs, all with abundance. I have a verse in Revelation 22 at the end of the Word of God. We are given this image again. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him that hears say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things says, "Surely I come quickly." Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is the Lord Jesus Christ inviting and exhorting and revealing to you all in the gospel to come and drink and experience and receive this abundance of water which God provided in him. So the question to you all, to you, dear Christian, is this: what do you make of trials? What do you make of times of glorious victories and trials that come afterwards? If you have tasted that the Lord is good, if you know that he is your Lord, his word says, "Hearken unto me. Trust me and come unto me again once more and drink of the water of life." May this be true even of those who have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ ever. You perhaps have been journeying along with the people of Israel out of the Egypt. You maybe have just joining and without really knowing what was going on, without having tasted. Maybe you were one of those first that when the tasting of Marah's water were bitter, you were raising your hand and saying, I knew, I've told you, we should have never come out of Egypt. Where's your faith? Where's your obedience to the gospel in Christ? Will you not come and bow your knees and say, even for the first time, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I know you have done great works. You have sent your Son, and I don't want to despise him anymore. I don't want to have this bitterness in my heart anymore. I want to hold on to your word. I want to obey your voice. I want to be healed in my own bitterness and heart. I want to be protected and live around the wings of your protection and receive this abundant life which is in the Spirit. I want to taste this, Lord. I want to drink it. May this be your prayer this day.